in reaction to Sunday night's mass shooting in Las Vegas, researchers are pointing out that there are restrictions on federal funding of gun control and gun violence prevention research. Groups that represent these social science researchers say they want those restrictions lifted.
Scott Jasek is an editor for Inside Higher Ed. He's written about calls for more research on gun violence. Scott, welcome back to Central Time.
Great to be here.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about what restrictions are in place when it comes to federal funding for gun violence-related research?
Sure. In 1996, the Centers for Disease Control sponsored research that offended the pro-gun lobby. The research found that having a gun in your home doesn't necessarily make you more safe. Congress responded at the behest of the NRA and others by saying that the CDC could no longer support research that, quote, may be used to advocate or promote gun control. And that has effectively shut down CDC research. There's been a little NIH research, but that is being phased out now as well.
Now, this doesn't mean there's no CDC research at all about gun violence. They do track things like gun deaths, gun homicides, and suicides, and some of the basic stats, right?
Correct, but they can't sponsor research that would be the kind of social science research that might look at policies. They can't necessarily support a study that might look at, well, do waiting periods work, or are there effective ways to screen out people whose mental illnesses might make it unsafe for them to own and use a gun. And there's a lot of fear in science agencies of offending Congress or the gun lobby. Right now, Congress is controlled by people who are supportive of the gun lobby. So there's worry about this. And a lot of the policy questions could conceivably benefit from studies saying this approach would work, this approach might not work.
In your piece, you wrote about different social science research groups responding to this. Again, this has come up in the past. What kind of things are we hearing?
So again, what they're saying is we need to do research. And it's important to remember that good social science research looking at the impact of various policies requires money. And so a researcher at University of Wisconsin or anywhere for that matter would need grants to apply for. And what the associations are pointing out is that research has been shut down. And they talk about this issue comes up whenever there is one of these tragedies, like we just saw in Las Vegas. It came up after Sandy Hook, came up after Orlando. But to date, it's been the Congress hasn't been willing to lift the ban.
Big picture, apart not just looking at gun violence here, how important is federal funding for any kind of health research going on at universities and other institutions going on around the country?
It's very important. I mean, look, the NIH, CDC combined provide billions of dollars in grants. This stuff is expensive. And when you look at, say, state appropriations to public universities, it's not for research. It's for sort of their core undergraduate education missions primarily. And what happens here, this is sort of the latest illustration, that when some of the tough health policy questions deal with hot button issues, many times politicians get upset. So, for instance, in the past, there's been criticism of research on needle exchange programs, even though many people say it was essential to do that research to come up with policies so people wouldn't share needles and spread terrible diseases. Similarly, research on safe sex and what would motivate people to have safe sex or not is a crucial part of the scientific fight on AIDS. And yet, because some of these studies offend some people, they get very controversial and people yell about them or, in some cases, try to ban them.
We're talking to Scott Jasek from Inside Higher Ed, looking at federal restrictions on funding for different kinds of gun violence-related social science research. There have been recent renewed calls from research organizations calling for that to be loosened up. Scott, groups like the NRA and others are worried, I think, that universities in particular are liberal organizations. They have a built-in bias of sorts. They're going to come in with conclusions that they want to reach, and the research they do will then find those conclusions. What do researchers and these organizations say to that?
Well, they would point out that federal research doesn't just go to anybody who has an idea. There's a peer review process. And so someone who wanted to do research on this would have to show, among other things, that they were doing a legitimate study, that even if there was a hypothesis, there wasn't a predetermined conclusion. If there's a predetermined conclusion, a good peer review would reject that. We're not talking about money to write an op-ed with somebody's opinion that they don't need a grant for. But we're talking about studies that would be rigorously analyzed. Is this good science? Is there a control group? Is there a large enough sample to draw certain conclusions? If they determined that it was just trying to prove one thing, a good peer review panel would say no.
How does gun research funding compare with research into other health issues that might have comparable death tolls in the United States?
So one of the groups of scientists that have been pushing to get this ban lifted did this really fascinating comparison. In the last 40 years, there have been about 400 cases of cholera in the United States, and there have been 212 research grants. There have been 1,337 cases of diphtheria, 66 research grants. More than 4 million firearms injuries, 3 grants. And so the reality is that firearms injuries are a public health issue. We're not talking about research, you know, on what does the bullet do, but we're talking about research on public policy that might inform lawmakers to develop good policy.
Just looking around in comment sections on articles on related issues, people raise the idea, well, this is the Centers for Disease Control, the National Institutes for Health. A lot of people don't think of guns and firearms as a health issue that is in the purview of those organizations.
And I think respectfully that they're incorrect. These organizations look at health broadly. They do research on such topics as driving while intoxicated, using drugs that are illegal or maybe should be illegal. So they look at a range of behaviors. I also think, in this you will hear from scientists, on many health issues, the path to either prevention or a cure is as much about human behavior as it is about the science. So this is a very much a part of the way science of health works these days on many issues. It's not just discovering what caused a certain situation, but how do you prevent it? And that, a lot of that, has to do with behavior.
Are there examples here in Wisconsin where academics and lawmakers at any level have butted heads on issues like these?
Well, sure. In Wisconsin, I mean, when I was last on your show was when some legislators were upset about a course on whiteness. And likewise, there have been disputes about research involving abortion or fetuses. And what happens is you have legislators trying to dictate what professors should study. Generally, certainly within academia, that is frowned upon, not out of the belief that professors should be able to do whatever they want, but out of the belief that you have systems like peer review or institutional review boards that look at any research involving human beings. You have systems where experts review proposals and either approve them or not. You don't want, many people don't want legislators making those decisions, in the same way that you wouldn't want legislators telling farmers when to harvest their crops. Legislators, you can assume, are very smart, but they have areas of expertise. And what research a professor should do historically has not been one of those areas of expertise.
We're talking to Scott Jasek, editor at Inside Higher Ed, looking at why the CDC is barred from funding a lot of kinds of research on gun violence and gun violence prevention.
You can join us at 800-642-1234. What is your take on this? Do you think that the CDC should study gun violence? What do you think about the ban on studying gun violence? Should the federal government fund gun control research? You can call in now at 800-642-1234, and you can also email ideas@wpr.org.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up here on Central Time. We're picking up our conversation now about limits on federal funding for gun violence research. Scott Jasek stays with us. He's editor for Inside Higher Ed.
And you can join in our conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the limits of federal funding on research into gun violence? What do you think needs more research in particular? What questions need answering when it comes to gun control? And do you think the federal government should fund gun control research? Call in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org.
We'll go right to our callers. Val is on the line in Waukesha. Val, hi.
Hi. I wanted to just call in and say that I think that if not the CDC, there needs to be some sort of agency that's funded to study it. And if no, for no other reason, the fact that it seems the NRA is so set against it, that there must be something that's being hidden or that's going to be uncovered that could not be just Second Amendmented away. That would point to the need for some sort of control.
Val, thanks a lot for the call. Scott, any thoughts on what Val had to say?
Yeah, I mean, this is what the purpose of research is to find things out. I don't think a research study that just said we're looking for 10 reasons why this gun control measure should be adopted would necessarily be approved. But if you look at the various proposals, they have common elements. How do you prevent, you know, what is going to prevent gun violence? And some of those findings could have an impact on lawmakers.
Val, thanks a lot for the call. Scott, do you have a sense of what kind of studies people are chomping at the bit to do if they could get the funding to do it?
They're looking to study policies. They're looking, you know, such as waiting periods. They're looking to answer questions such as what are the characteristics of someone that might make them unsafe to have a gun or access to a gun. There's a lot of discussion of these issues where people say, based on their perhaps common sense or gut instinct, what those factors are. But many would say there needs to be research. The study I mentioned that caused this ban to put in place challenged something that the NRA says, in that it found that having a gun at home doesn't make you more safe and increases certain kinds of violence, even if it protects against other kinds of violence. All of these are hotly contested issues, frequently being debated just on what people think, not on actual research. That's the idea here.
And as I understand it, the way this is done, this isn't technically a ban on funding for research. People could apply for grants. Theoretically, the CDC or National Institutes of Health could give a grant to this kind of research, but there's a sense of fear. There's a gray area that it would be really easy to waltz across and then run into trouble. Is that right?
Right. And the Congress has in the past punished the CDC by cutting its budget for funding this area of research. And the CDC and the NIH fund all kinds of very important research, and so they worry about things that might set off congressional critics.
Let's bring on another caller now at 800-642-1234. Kyle is with us in Muskego. Kyle, hi.
Hi. I think in this talk about violence and what causes it, I think we need to focus less on the method and more on the why and what pushes people to do this. The terrorist that just committed that mass murder, he used guns, but he also had explosive materials at one of his homes. And if he had decided to go that route and built something similar to the Oklahoma City bomb, and used that at the concert instead of guns, we could be looking at a much higher death count. So I don't think the how is as important as the why and how to stop the violence in the first place.
Kyle, thanks for calling. And Scott, is that an important distinction to make, what motivates violence and the means used to carry it out?
Well, in fact, I mean, there is federal research on what motivates terrorists. deaths. There is federal research on issues such as why people might join a group like Al-Qaeda and cause harm to people here and elsewhere, using any number of tactics to do so. So I think the key thing on this issue is that this is the issue being left out. There is already a study underway, numerous studies, that have helped people who are developing public policy figure out what should we do to minimize the chances of more people joining terrorist groups. So, yes, no one's saying that only gun violence should be studied.
Kyle, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Mike on the line in Rusk County. Mike, hi.
Hi. I think that last comment is similar to where I was headed, but I remember the debate and the discussion when these controls came down. And the debate really came down to that it was every appearance of CDC and others were biasing their research by making the very subject that they were looking for causes or reasons to control guns and so forth. If this was part of violence research or emergency room, trauma or whatever, and it was done as an unbiased look, and they happened to include firearms, that might be acceptable. But when you go at it with a target and a focus, specifically focusing on gun control type issues, then no, they shouldn't be funded.
Mike, thanks for the call. I guess, Scott, some researchers might say we do have a category of death, suicide, and homicide that does involve firearms, just as we have a category of deaths that involves cholera. How do you sort that out?
Well, I mean, again, what this is about is what they are told they can't study. I also think it's important to remember that if you look back in time, there was a period when the researchers who came out and said that smoking cigarettes is dangerous were attacked as some sort of crazy biased academics. Well, as time went on, those findings were validated by everybody and now aren't disputed. Sometimes research will lead in directions that people don't want to hear about. And that's why today, for instance, in addition to, well, that issue has been solved, you still see studies on factors that will motivate people to smoke or not smoke. It's how you tackle public health issues, and it simply that researchers may have an opinion going in, that's not the basis of judging their work. The basis of judging their work is this a good scientific test? Are they looking at multiple theories? Is there real proof? Have they designed this in a fair way? It's not just a case of somebody who doesn't like guns saying, give me some money so I can say guns are bad.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Scott Jasek from Inside Higher Ed, looking at federal restrictions on funding for gun violence research. Back to our callers. John is with us in West Salem. John, hi.
Hello. I've been listening for the last 5 or 10 minutes, and I appreciate your guests in wanting to have research into gun issues. But I never, ever hear the contributions that are given to our legislation and given to our president's campaign, which was the amount of $30 million by the NRA. Now, if the NRA is controlling our legislation and our presidency, and both houses are Republican, how in the world do you think that you're going to get any research money?
John, thanks for the call. John Scott is worried about the sway of campaign donations in having anything change here.
Well, past history would say he's right to be worried about that. The Congress has been asked before to lift this ban. Congress has not. It is true that there are many congressional figures who have close ties and receive a lot of money from the NRA, people always ask, when might things change? And they wonder that after the tragedy in which those elementary school kids were killed in Connecticut and after the Orlando nightclub. I don't know. It's a uphill climb for the reasons that caller just identified, but sometimes the public mood does change, and who knows if this is the time or if it will be some later period.
Thanks for the call, John. And Scott, as we wrap up, a wider issue even than research into gun violence, you have a concern about academic freedom in general.
Yes. Well, if you have members of Congress or members of state legislatures banning certain kinds of research, you're limiting the inquiry that people have. We get out of academic research, we get lots of ideas that never work, that people look for cures or policies, and then they find they're not working. But we also get, and it's striking this being Nobel Prize week, we get brilliant ideas that change the world. That comes from people being free to go where they want to study and also being able to get adequate support to study. And that's just the nature of great research.
Do you see support for research in general, again, outside of the particulars of the firearms issue we're talking about? Do you see that in danger?
Well, I mean, there is strong bipartisan support, I would say, in general for health research because everyone has diseases that they worry about, that their loved ones had, and they want study of that. What I see less support for are state appropriations for public universities, so it becomes harder for public universities to maintain the great faculties who will come up with the ideas and land grants to do research.
Scott, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Scott Jasek, editor for Inside Higher Ed. He joined us to talk about the news that scholars and scholarly groups are calling for an end to federal funding restrictions on gun violence research.
Coming up, we'll look at the arts in our series, First Wisconsinites, Dispatches from Native American Life in Wisconsin Today. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.